Let's read together. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. I must go on boasting. Although there's nothing to be gained, I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things that no one is permitted to tell. Paul is giving his testimony here. He's writing a letter to the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth was saying, Paul, you nothing really, because there was this other bunch of apostles who were coming in, calling themselves apostles, and say, well, we have visions, we have dreams, God does all these amazing things for us, and what is Paul? And so Paul, not because he really wants to do this, he feels very uncomfortable doing this, but he gives his testimony saying, well, you know, he doesn't even talk in the first person, I know a man. Talking about himself, but he just feels so uncomfortable talking about this stuff because it's such a big thing and a personal thing that God gave him. But he just feels for the sake of the church, he needs to give his testimony that God has also given him stuff like that, that God has given him wonderful experiences. And this is what he's writing about. I was caught up, whether it's in the body, out the body, was it a dream, a vision, a revelation? I don't know. But God gave me an amazing experience of himself. I will boast about someone like that, but I will not boast about myself except in my weakness. Even if I choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. If Paul were given to boasting and he spoke about this stuff, it's all true. It's not that he's being a fool. He's boasting about what actually happened to him is what he's saying. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do say or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Paul is just so scared that people are going to give him the glory instead of God. And so he doesn't want to boast about these things, but for the sake of the church he's willing to do this. Therefore, notice that little word therefore, because of all that God has done for him, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, I am strong. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would explain to us what this means, Lord, and help us to see what it means for us in our lives, to learn some things tonight, to help us deal with those times when you just seem uncooperative. We ask us in Jesus' name, amen. We have come to the last in our series, When God Doesn't Make Sense. And the first week we looked at those times when God just seems inattentive. You know, things happen and we're sure that if God had just been paying a little more attention to us, those things wouldn't have happened. And last week we looked at those times when God seems late. It just seems like why didn't he come before? Why didn't he come earlier? He could have, but he didn't. And we just wondered about that, and it just didn't make sense to us why God should sometimes seem inattentive. He should sometimes seem late. But as we saw, God never acts without a purpose. We may not understand his purpose at the time, but that doesn't mean he doesn't have a purpose. Just because we don't understand it. Tonight we can look at those times when God seems uncooperative. And I think you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you know that the Bible says that if we ask anything in Jesus' name, he's going to do it. And so we take Jesus at his word and we ask for something and nothing happens. And often, as in that little video clip, it has to do with illness. I mean, why would God not want to answer a prayer for healing? Is it, we know that it's not because he's happy that we're sick? Or we're struggling with a relationship. We pray and ask God, please fix this relationship. But it breaks down anyway. I mean, surely God would not have wanted that. We want to get into that college. We want to make that team. We want that job. And so we do what any Christian does. We ask God to help, but nothing happens. And we wonder, why is God so jolly uncooperative? Of course, you've no idea what I'm talking about, do you? I mean, God always answers your prayers just like you pray them, right? I didn't think so. So I guess you're going to listen tonight. You always listen. Can you believe that the Apostle Paul struggled with that too? We think of Paul as such a hero of the faith, and he was a hero of the faith, and yet he too found God uncooperative at times. And at least one of those occasions, he tells us about it. He gives his testimony. Paul had what he called a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. Now, what was this thorn in Paul's flesh? What was the thing that troubled Paul so much? Many people have given many different theories of what it might be. Some have suggested that Paul had this speech impediment and he just wished that he could speak properly because then he would be really effective in preaching the gospel. Some have suggested it was weak eyesight, that he couldn't write and he couldn't see properly, that was the thorn in the flesh. Others have even suggested that Paul struggled with lust. Truth is, simply by the number of theories, it is obvious that we do not know what Paul's thorn was. And that, may I say, is not a bad thing. You see, all of us can relate in some way to the concept of a thorn in the flesh, something that troubles us. Because all of us do have something with which we really struggle. It might be a health issue. It might be a physical impediment. It might be incredible shyness. It might be poverty. And I'm sure that we can all add to that list the kind of things which might be deemed thorns in the flesh. And that is the point of us not knowing the details of what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. It allows us to personalize it. What is the thing with which you struggle? What is the thing about which you are praying for the Lord to take it away? And let's not trivialize this. Your upset tummy for a day or two doesn't qualify. A bout of man flu. You know what man flu is? When men get the snivels. Oh, I've got flu. Man flu. It's not, that's trivializing the thorn in the flesh. We are talking about something which troubles us, which daily impacts on our lives, and we pray about it, and God just seems uncooperative. He doesn't come through for us, even though we would be so much more effective for him if he did. Isn't this how we might pray? Lord, you know I want to serve you. But I've got this difficult person at work. They're such a thorn in my flesh, and I just can't get over that. Or, Lord, you know I want to serve you, but I made a bad choice with my husband, my wife. They don't know you. They mock me, and, oh, God, if only that weren't the case. Lord, I want to serve you, but this health issue that I've got, it just means that I can't be as effective for you as I want to. Lord, I want to serve you, but I struggle to meet my budget every month. How can I really serve you? Lord, I want to serve you, but I'm so shy. I just can't talk to people. Help me to be more outgoing. If only you let me be like that. Take this thorn away, and I will serve you better. Surely the Lord will want to cooperate in those prayers. I mean, they're for the good of the kingdom. But he doesn't. And we wonder why. Well, Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And Paul prayed about it too, just as we do. Take a look at this. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away. That doesn't mean 1, 2, 3 times. It just means that he prayed about it, you know. He prayed about it. That's what it means. It is clear Paul did not want the thorn. It is clear that Paul believed he would be better off without the thorn. I think this is how Paul might have prayed. He might have prayed something like this. He might have said, Lord, I will long to serve you better. But I've got this thorn, whatever it was. And Lord, I would really, really love to serve you, and I could serve you better if only you would take the thorn away. Lord, please remove the thorn. And Paul pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. He begged the Lord. And we might, like Paul, plead with the Lord 3 times. We, like Paul, might feel that the only thing that keeps us from being really effective for the Lord is serving him, is this thorn. And like Paul, the only adequate answer we want is, okay, I will remove it. But God seems so uncooperative, and we wonder why. Why is God apparently being so uncooperative? Well, it turns out that God wasn't being uncooperative. Turns out that God was in fact doing something else. He was in fact doing something more important. And as we look at this, I want to emphasize that this is Paul's story. His story will be different from our story, but I tell you Paul's story because it teaches us a truth which we can apply in all our lives. Your story will be different from Paul's, but we can apply the truth from Paul's story. Let's hear his story. Years before, God had given Paul an amazing revelation and experience of himself. Paul himself wasn't sure if it was a vision or an actual experience, but in fact, it doesn't matter. It was an amazing, unusual experience, not something God does for all of his people, but God did it for Paul. Now, with such special treatment, there is the danger of thinking more highly of ourselves than we ought, of thinking that somehow I'm special, more special than others. That's the danger that comes with such an experience. And God wasn't willing to take that chance with Paul. Therefore, because of this amazing experience, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. This is how another translation puts it. Because of the extravagance of those revelations, and so I wouldn't get a big head, I was given the gift of a handicap to keep me in constant touch with my limitations. Satan's angel did his best to get me down, but what he in fact did was push me to my knees. No danger then of walking around high and mighty. Now, Paul didn't always understand what we have in that verse. There was a time, probably over a long period of time, when Paul wanted whatever that thorn was to be removed. At first, I didn't think of it as a gift. And I begged God to remove it. 3 times I did that. And I guess Paul carried on begging and begging God because he thought God was simply being uncooperative. But then Paul stopped praying. Well, stopped praying for the thorn to be removed. Why? Because the Lord took it away? No. Because Paul finally came to realize that God wasn't being uncooperative. That God wasn't just playing hardball with him. That God wasn't inattentive to him. That God wasn't showing up late. It was God doing something in Paul's life to keep Paul useful to the Lord. God was busy doing what was necessary to keep Paul from becoming conceited. And when Paul finally got that message, realized that God was doing something which was actually good for him, even though it was unpleasant, then Paul stopped begging. He realized it had nothing to do with God being uncooperative. It had everything to do with God wanting to mature Paul spiritually, of God wanting to keep Paul useful to him. And that is the principle that I want us to grasp. Even if we do not end up understanding what God is trying to accomplish, we can be sure that God is not being uncooperative. God is accomplishing something really, really important. It must be, if he's willing to allow us to go through this, he must believe that it's more important what he's trying to accomplish than our discomfort. Job is a good example. God allowed Satan to bring real hardship in Job's life. God allowed the hardship for a reason. Now, you and I, the people who read the story of Job, we understand what the reason is. Satan had come to God and accused Job of only loving God because God was so good to him. Satan said to God, it's only because you've given him so much wealth. It's only because you've blessed him that he loves you. Take it away, and you'll see that Job will curse you like everybody else does. Not true, says God. That's not what Job. And you can take it all away, by the way. And I will prove it. And then, Satan, when you've taken it all away, you will see what an amazing person Job is. You will see that he loves me and that he serves me, not because of what I've given him. Do you see what's going on here? Can you see that God's reputation was riding on Job remaining faithful during an incredibly tough time of testing? In our language of tonight, Job was given a thorn, and Job never came to understand what God was accomplishing. But if Job had failed, Satan could have said to God, I told you, God's reputation was riding on Job remaining faithful. And Job pleaded with the Lord, but the Lord remained very uncooperative, apparently. Nevertheless, Job remained faithful. Please understand the principle. God is not being uncooperative when he remains silent and he doesn't make sense. There is a purpose to our thorns, and that purpose is as varied as what God wants to accomplish in us as individuals. But there's a second purpose in the thorns, and this purpose is the same for all of us. When we are struggling with our thorns, we get the same promise today that God gave Paul all those years ago. But the Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. And I think we get that. I think we understand what the Lord is talking about there. But the sentence isn't finished. He goes on and he says, for my power is made perfect in weakness. What does that mean? Picture a drowning person kicking and spluttering with all the desperation of a person who sees their life slipping away, and hovering just out of reach is a lifeguard watching, waiting, fully aware of the drowning person's situation but not cooperating with the drowning person. The drowning person grows ever weaker, and as exhaustion and helplessness sets in, the person becomes still and starts to sink. And at that precise moment, the lifeguard, powerful for the task, brings the drowning swimmer to shore. At the precise moment, the swimmer realized they had no more strength. All the strength of the lifeguard became available to them. That's what that verse means. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. It is only when we have reached the end of ourselves that we are able to experience the fullness of God's strength. And the truth is, often it takes a thorn, whatever that thorn might be, to bring us to the end of our own strength. It's true. There are times when God seems uncooperative. But never forget, God is always accomplishing something, using our thorn to do it. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we know that this is hard stuff that we're hearing tonight and have heard for the last couple of weeks, because Lord, we would want it to be different. We'd want to experience you coming through for us straight away, Lord, with what we want. But Lord, we know that you withhold because you've got something more important that you are accomplishing. And Lord, help us now as we discuss this to kind of get an idea of what you are saying and how it might apply to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.